Stony Plain, but it's been spring break. So I've had my very hyper 6-year-old grade oneer at home all week. It's been great. But we decided to channel his energy, run him hard, so that we could have a movie night. And my husband made a big bowl of popcorn. We all settled on the couch. I also have a 4-year-old and a 2-year-old. And we were going to watch a movie. And my 6-year-old looks at me and says, "Can we fast forward and just watch the end of the movie first?" And I said, Why would you want to do that?" And he goes, "Because, Mommy, I like movies much better when I know all the characters are alive at the end." Anybody else like that? There is a temptation I think all of us have that we could enjoy things or endure things better if we knew they were going to be okay in the end. Some people I know even read the last chapter of a book first because they can get into the story more if they know that it's okay at the end. And I think we do that a little bit as Christians when we get into this Holy Week. We face Good Friday, we stand at the foot of the cross, and we endure it much better because we know that Easter Sunday is just around the corner. We know how the story ends. We know there's a resurrection on Sunday morning. And the temptation can be for us to jump ahead to the ending, to focus on the Easter and the resurrection and the alleluias and the joyful praise, that we sometimes forget to linger and to experience Good Friday and the suffering. This is a hard day for us because we, generally speaking, do not want to talk about pain, to talk about suffering, to talk about death. As a society, at least in North America, we try and run as far away from it as we possibly can. We have a hard time handling the subject of death. And I find that interesting that that's not the case in a lot of places around the world. Did you know in a lot of the churches in Africa and Central America, this day, Good Friday, is the day that has the crowds come? We spoke with one missionary from Congo, and he says on Good Friday, he has 4 services with 25,000 people at each service. On Good Friday. He says, Easter Sunday, we have 1 service. We get about 15,000. Why? Why is it that Good Friday is the big draw in some of these places? And I think it's really simple. It's because in some of these places, they understand suffering more. Good Friday speaks to them more because that's where they are in their own path. Our 4-year-old son has a very rare disease. In fact, he's actually the only one in the world that has it. Woot woot. But it is terminal. And the medical experts vary on giving us timelines because they've never seen it before. They can't tell us if he's going to live to be 5 years, he's 4.5, or 10, or we don't know. But in any case, it's been an interesting journey with him. We understand suffering. This is a little child who was never supposed to walk, was never supposed to talk, and genetically based on his disease is not supposed to be functioning at all. We spend a lot of time in hospitals. And we were up there this week, and there was happened to be a choir that was coming, that was singing, and spreading a little Easter cheer in the Solary Hospital in Edmonton. And I spoke to their director. He says, "We always come through on Tuesday of Holy Week because," he said, "my people love to come here because of all the places we can sing, the hospital floor at Solary is a place where people understand Good Friday. Suffering abounds. We understand what it's like to experience something completely unknown. While there was, the choir was singing, there's a little kind of a vestibule area that the choir was singing in. And one of the mothers left during one of the songs. And I followed her out. She went behind the wall, sank up against the wall, and just crumbled in tears. She goes, "I don't think my son is coming home this week. He's going to die this week. I can't hear this song and sit and smile in front of him. I'm not ready to talk about resurrection and Easter. Because all I know is the pain of this moment. The pain that I have to go sit vigil by my little boy's bed and say goodbye. That is Good Friday. That is pain." She, if anybody, could relate to this. If you have a Bible handy, look at Psalm 22. The beginning is some of the words that you even heard Jesus cry from the cross. "My God, my God, why have you forsaken me?" Hear the desperation in those words, not only from the cross, but from the psalmist in Psalm 22. "My God, my God, why have you forsaken me?" In moments of utter suffering, utter despair, that's all we can cry out. Because we literally feel lost. We have something unique, though, in this faith. And that is that we are the only of the world's religions that has a God that has been able to cry those words. "My God, my God, why have you forsaken me? Why have you left me for pain and suffering?" There is a long-standing question that I think everyone asks. Why? Why does suffering exist? Why do beautiful children like my little Emmett have to suffer a disease? Why do families have to be driven apart? Why do we have such pain and suffering? Why do bad things happen to good people? These are questions that pull at the very strings of our faith and try to make it unravel. And if anything, we have a faith that can actually pull it all together. Because we have a God that understands suffering. He cried out at the foot of the cross too. He would have done anything. In scripture, we hear that he prays at the garden on the night before his betrayal, the night before his crucifixion. He cries out and says, "My Lord, take this cup from me, that I may not have to go through this." But in the end, he says, "But for not my will, but thine be done." We have a God that understands suffering. That may be the appeal of Good Friday. If we take a moment to linger in that darkness and pain that is our human existence, and that is the message of this holiest of holy day mornings, when we take a moment to just fully experience that darkness, we are all the more ready for the light of Sunday. We know the ending. We did jump ahead. We know that there is light and there is resurrection. But without this suffering, without the cross, without Good Friday, there would be no Easter. Without the cross, there would be no eternal life. Without pain, there would not be joy. Cannot have mountaintops without there being a few valleys. So, the message I want to leave with you on this holy day is, don't be so scared of darkness and of suffering. It is part of our human reality, and it is something that in many ways we need to embrace and be more willing to talk about the dark stuff and death. It's something I know as a mother, I desperately would love to protect my 2, 4, and 6-year-olds from anything that would cause them pain. But we all know, those of you who are parents know, that's impossible. You cannot protect your children from pain. Because guess what? Life is hard. It is brutal. And they're going to fall. They're going to hurt. They are going to have their little hearts broken. They are going to face situations, darkness, that will pull at the very threads of their faith and make them want to unravel. That is just reality. What we can give them is a promise of light and say, hey, yes, this is tragic. This is hard. This is death at its darkest. But there is light. There is hope. We have a God who understands what it's like to suffer with us and walk with us, takes it on to himself so that we can have a promise of light and joy at the end. That is what the gift we can give our children. So don't be in a rush to get through Good Friday so that you can jump ahead to Easter Sunday. Because there is something very special in the pain and the darkness of this day. There is a beauty, there is a promise, and there is a hope that will propel you and hold you together on this path before we get to the light. I take inspiration every day from my son. He's here. He's playing in the nursery. You can meet him after. But he is walking on his own. We left his wheelchair behind because he can do it. He has a determination and a joy that even through pain radiates. There is a blessing in that. There is a joy in that. Without the cross, we don't have Easter. Without the cross, without the temple curtain being torn in two, we don't have a gateway. We need to celebrate. But we also need to embrace the pain. And Good Friday, it maybe is a reminder that some of us are yet suffering. Some have probably in the last year lost loved ones and are still feeling the burden of grief and are terrified of Easter Sunday because it means another family dinner with an empty chair at the table where there should be a loved one that was there last year. It's probably a reality for more than one of you here. Or there is a fear and trepidation of coming year. Perhaps there's illness. Perhaps unemployment. There are struggles. So in facing those in the coming year, not just Easter, remember this day. Remember the cross. And that we have a God who has suffered with us and been with us in this pain. Understood it so well, he could cry from the depths of his soul, my God, why have you forsaken me? And when those moments come in the year to come, when you find yourself wanting to cry those words, you can remember this day and the hope that comes from utter despair and darkness. Because we are, really, a resurrection people. We know the joy of Easter. We know, come Sunday morning, a stone will be rolled away and there'll be a promise of new life. So don't fear the pain and the darkness of this day, because it embraces and envelopes an incredible blessing. So let's celebrate the pain of this day. Acknowledge that we all understand pain. That is, unfortunately, the human reality. But we also know the promise that the cross brings. Amen.
It's just an emblem of formality. It's a symbol that's been used so frequently. Many blaspheme and despise, though it's ancient, it abides. The place of death that stands for life to me. There was a cross made for the Son of God at Calvary. Two pieces of rough timber on a hill. Through his hands and through his feet, he took the nails for you and me. Angels watched as he died for the Lord. He chose the cross. See why this old emblem is so dear to me. It's good for suffering and it brought us free. Where the gap was bridged for men, ever cleansing for our sin. Picture that reminds us that we're free.
There was a
faithful Son of God, to be of rough timber on a hill. Through his hands and through his feet, he took the nails for you and me.
Through his feet, he took the nails.